This episode is brought to you by Mood.
Devin, exciting news. I finally figured out what we're gonna do for 420.
Ooh, what you got? What you got, man?
We got all these Mood products, right? Mm-hmm. I told you I got that new shipment. You know what I'm saying? Because I like to enjoy myself, especially on 420, right? We're going to binge watch Ned's Declassified.
Okay. All right, I like that.
But here's the thing. Every time Ned gives a tip, we take a Mood edible.
I give like 20 tips an episode.
That's a lot of tips.
Perfect!
Let's go.
Achieve the perfect high for you with Mood's federally legal flower, gummies, vapes, and more. There are different strains for specific moods, euphoric to energetic, creative to chill. Celebrate 420 the way you want to with Mood. Get 20% off your first order plus a free THCA pre-roll at hellomood.com with special promo code NEDS. That's hellomood.com, code NEDS.
We're on a podcast.
Woo! Special podcast.
Hello, listeners, watchers. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you also follow us on Spotify and Apple. In the studio today, we have a very special guest.
Woo!
The one and only Claire Sawyer,
future lawyer,
Brooke Marie Bridges.
Hi,
Brooke.
She has been on world tour every time we've tried to get her on the podcast.
So yeah, we tried all last
previously,
year.
Yeah, but I feel like the whole year we've done the podcast, we've always
anticipated you being here via Zoom.
Right.
Like we showed up and said, oh, yeah, it's Brooke's episode today. It's going to be great. And it just never...
The Wi-Fi went down.
I was like, are they lying? They don't want me to be there.
I'm so bad. Dude, because I had reached out to her on, what was it, TikTok? First of all, finding you was a little bit tough. But then I'm like, she thinks that I'm just making this stuff up. He's like, is he doing a cruel joke?
I was like, I know my character was kind of boring, but like, I'm not that boring.
cool person.
I swear.
We know it will.
First of all, Claire Sawyer, future lawyer, was not boring.
Okay.
No, yeah.
Great bit throughout the entire series.
It's so funny.
Super solid bit.
It was decent. Felt a little bored though,
which
may be news to people.
Sure.
I'm sorry if I'm breaking anybody's heart.
No, go.
I was so jealous that everybody got to be funny and silly, and I had to be like, an adult.
Right.
You know?
That's why it was like, funny. No, that makes sense. That was funny, you know? Though, but for you, not funny.
I never thought of that.
Yeah. Situational humor, but you weren't the butt of it.
Right. Yeah, and you didn't get to do anything zany. You're the lawyer. Right. That's what's funny.
Right.
You're a kid who's acting like an adult.
Right. Mm. Which for me was like, man, this sucks.
You got to get tossed in a backpack in that one episode.
That was fun.
I'm gonna sue the backpack off that boy.
Yeah.
Wait. So were you really zany? I'm pretty sure I took you at that at your lawyer's costume.
Exactly.
Like you were.
I was.
Silly.
Yeah.
I always thought you were
really,
quiet.
Yeah.
A little bit quiet.
Because I was depressed. You know.
What depressed about the situation?
In real life.
Oh,
yeah.
That was just a rough set.
That was a tough time for me as a kid. Wow. I was really generally a happy-go-lucky kid, but I was just going through, you know, anxiety. I dealt with depression. I just dealt with all this stuff. I would go to school. People would think I was, you know, a bitch because I was an actress, that I was better than everybody else. But in reality, I was just like a kid. You know, I just wanted to be a normal kid. And so then I would like be at home and be, you know, struggling with things and then go on set and then be like, oh, you got to be more boxed in, you know, into this little mold. And so, yeah, I was quiet probably because I was just insecure and anxious. And you
come from an actor family too, like a lineage. So that I've always wondered how that must be. Like, I'm from rural Mississippi and just flew out.
You're from
Atlanta. You're from Nebraska, the corn. She's like, how dare you forget where I'm from? But
you're from...
But for you, your uncle was Todd Bridges.
I was excited
when I was like, oh, she's gonna be, oh, this is cool.
What?
She knows Gary Coleman, this is gonna be amazing.
Yeah. So it was hard. It was definitely like the pressure was on a little bit more, and it was just like expected of you to like want to be an actor and that's your future. That's the thing you're going to pursue, period. You know, like I did my first acting job when I was 6 months old.
Holy shit.
Like a commercial with my dad and my sister. And so after, you know, I was born, it's like, okay, Brooke's an actor. That's what she's doing. And I was like, okay, you know, and at first I was like, it was great and good. And I don't know if you all experienced this because, you know, maybe you didn't get into it as early. But one thing I remember really big coming up on the time that I was on Ned's was like this feeling of being accepted because I was playing other characters or playing roles, mm-hmm. not necessarily being accepted because of who mm-hmm. I am as mm-hmm. a person, and especially from your family, you know, because it's like they're happy when I book jobs. Mm-hmm. Are they happy just because they love me, mm-hmm. you know? So like that was a hard wow. experience for sure.
Wow. And that's yeah. through all the years from six. I mean, yeah, that's yeah. always been a thought for you.
6 months. Right.
Yeah, that's a wow. weird. That's a weird thing with the any acting, but kid acting is then totally. Being loved for your performance and right. not just you fucking being.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like Ned was so close to who I was, mm. so the line was blurred in terms of like what I was being celebrated for. But there was definitely times when like Ned's was kind of new and airing where like some people in my family, it just got a little weird. It was all positive and love and they were celebrating me, but all of a sudden it was like about the fact that I'm an actor on TV mm. and not that I'm your fucking family.
Yeah, right,
and
right.
that definitely got weird some holidays back home where I was like, oh, this feels different.
Odd, yeah.
Yeah, this does not feel like the same love. This is right. a different love and a weirder love and now like an abstracted love as if I'm more than the fucking kid you've known totally. Your whole fucking life.
Totally.
And even yeah. if they aren't outwardly projecting that, just the fact that children in the industry do have to have that option available to them that maybe I'm loved for the wrong reasons mm-hmm. or maybe it's not authentic.
Yeah. Did you guys yeah. ever run into like a weird feeling of like competition? Competition within your family, whether it be like even aunts, uncles, like even like mom type of deal, but just that, I don't know, not even that you wanted to be an actor, but just the attention and the kind of the love that you get. I don't know, there were just some strange instances in my family where I was like, do you want me to succeed? Or like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Totally. Or are you trying to trump me? We're not even in the same lane. And in no respect, you know what I mean? Right, like we're comparing apples and oranges here, but there was like a strange tension there. Did it? Has anybody totally. Else ever experienced
what,
that?
Like someone wanting you to fail from your family or?
I don't know if you would say like, oh, they're rooting for me to fail, but they certainly are looking for the cracks in the foundation.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. Like trying to tear down the fact that what you were doing requires a ton of attention yep. and whatever, and whether they're not pursuing that at right. all, but just like,
but right, just like but little like, digs yeah. at you.
Yeah. 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 I definitely experienced that too. And it got really hard with my sister too, because ooh. Back when we're only a year apart. So back when we were acting, it was like me, my sister, Penny, Chelsea,
Penny?
Paige,
yeah.
like, whoa. All these, like we were the ones, Penny, we were the ones who were like booking things. And so she, you know, like she and I, we just had this like, already as two girls growing up the same age, this like inherent competition, and then add the layer of like what, who's booking what,
damn.
When we're always auditioning for the same thing, added another layer. And I do, other family members did also notice sometimes just like, oh, are you sure you want to do, you know, like, oh, well, that's cool. Yeah. You know, like you can just sense this like seething
weird underneath like
anger or something. Yeah.
yeah.
Or like,
yeah.
you want to be, you know, you want to make money
yeah.
on TV. Be
doing you know,
like, yeah. why yeah. not? Yeah. I want to wear cute clothes and like yeah. go out to eat at sushi restaurants that cost a lot of money. You know,
like, why not? Yes, I do want that.
I absolutely
like, I'll take your ass out. You know, if you're nice to me, but yeah. acting like that,
yeah, no. it's right.
Yeah. yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I didn't have competition in my. Not like that, but I mean, I definitely ruined my sister's life.
Oh, no.
No.
She didn't want to be an actress, but like the attention and just the energy that was required for me to yeah. be who I am and succeed in what we were doing. Like, you know, my mom's life revolved around, she worked, you know, none of us as kids do it ourselves. Our parents have
right.
to. Totally. It's a big lift for them. So, yeah. I mean, fuck, I'm from Georgia too. Like, for a long time, my sister was staying in Georgia with my dad, and my mom was coming out here for months at a time
wow.
with me doing the acting thing. Like, there wasn't a competition in terms of my sister wanting to act, but for sure, she had resentment towards me for a time. We worked it out, like, later in our lives, but, like, she's such a fucking sweetie pie. She knew the whole time, like, I love you, and I support you, and I want you to succeed, but it just sucks that, like... Mom and the family's yeah. attention, like it just sucks that everyone fucking
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah,
yeah,
is that's, centered yeah. around you. And right. I'm like,
Yeah. My sister was in college at the time when we were doing Ned's. But also, we moved the whole family from Mississippi. My brother came out, you know, it was for his career initially. But my sister, she was making this huge transition to go to Baylor for college. So that was a big thing for her that she had no anchor to the family near the South.
Yeah.
And that moved away. Yeah. But not competition not with her, right, but, right, still,
but still. Yeah.
That was something that was tough.
Okay, so you're feeling a little bit anxious on set. Like, what were, like, the good times like? Did you like the schoolroom? Like, give me a fuller version of your experience on Ned's.
Yeah, I felt, I wasn't sure if people liked me on Ned's, to be honest. Mm. I was, like, worried sometimes because I felt like a little weirdo. Do you not remember, like, I spent most of my time with hair and makeup playing with their teacup poodles?
Well, those teacup poodles were adorable.
The majority of the time I spent on set was
There was a young lady. What was the woman? You kind of resemble her a little bit.
Vanessa.
Do you remember Vanessa?
Yeah.
Yes. Totally Vanessa. Yeah.
So I was just hiding in the makeup room playing with the puppies.
You know, I thought it was because you were cooler than us, though.
Really? I honestly thought that you didn't, like, I might have thought you were a tiny bit standoffish, but I think I must have been too, because I don't remember being, like, overly warm. Like, yeah, I remember greeting, but I was not overly warm to anybody.
I thought you didn't like me really that much.
Oh, no.
Oh. Does this retroactive apology, like, help
your
younger?
In any way.
I hope so. I'm sorry. You guys, really, though, I was not as nice a person as I thought I was.
You had a lot of lines to learn, too, but you were also always hyper-focused on what was happening in your world.
Yes.
But let me not.
Yes.
But
a little self-absorbed.
No, and I think sometimes we all probably were, because I also was, you know? Mm-hmm. So I probably came across standoffish because in my little head, I'm like, you know, who am I? What am I doing here? You know, I'm just on set doing my thing. But I wasn't also overly warm and, like, really wanting to try and hang out with people because I was just scared, you know? But I was, like, focused on my own little avenue, too.
I always felt cool with you and enjoyed our scenes together and always thought you were cute and, like, had, like, a little... I never thought you were standoff. I always thought, like, oh, she's so cute. Like, I always loved working with you.
I had a little crush on you,
too. Yeah, I had a little crush. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, y'all. I had a little crush. There was no standoffishness. I was like, she's so funny.
The internet. This reminds me of a moment. The internet, MySpace time. Now, because thinking about this, right? I got in a couple people's inboxes. Was this MySpace time?
Wait, ew.
MySpace. What are you?
Where are you about to take this?
It was you or Penny. I got my heart just crushed. Momentary crushed because it was happening because I was hitting everybody.
You reached out to Penny?
I was like, hey, I think you're cute. I think it was you, Brooke.
It was
now
me?
I think about it. And she was like, oh, well, I was actually kind of interested in Devin.
No, she...
remember that at all.
Heartbroken. And then I was like, oh yeah, she's she's like, you know, half black, you know, but you're an African American woman.
I'm black.
This is my ticket, you know. And then she's like, actually
the white guy, fuck you.
Oh, and that kicked off everything. I'm like, these people are terrible. They're destroying our community. No.
Oh my god.
That just gave me a flashback. I think it was, it had to have been you. It couldn't have been Penny. Wait, Penny's your older sister?
She's my older sister.
This episode is brought to you by Mood.
Dev.
Lindsay.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going.
What are you doing today?
I don't know. I was thinking maybe you and I could get in the mood.
You want to get in the mood?
Kind of do.
Okay, I could get in the mood.
You could get in the mood?
I could get in the mood.
Me too.
Let's get in the mood.
Let's get in the mood then.
It is so great to see you guys in an awesome mood. And for all the viewers at home, you can be in a great mood too with Mood's federally legal THC. We got pre-rolls, we got vapes, and more, especially these gummies these guys just took. Get in a good mood. You only live once, guys. Celebrate 420 exactly how you want to with Mood. Get a 20% discount on your first order and a free THCA pre-roll at hellomood.com, promo code NEDS. That's hellomood.com, code NEDS.
Oh, you reached out to Penny too, but she's just the one who got back to you.
Respond, yeah.
Screw you, bro. Penny, Penny. Hey, Penny, I've been thinking the same message.
Oh, wow. Damn. Oh,
damn, Daniel.
Throwback. Nice little revelation for the viewers.
This is,
yeah. All right, back to you. Going straight back to you. So you got through Ned's. Love that. What happened after that?
So after Ned's, I still was acting a little bit. I was trying to quit, to be honest. I was telling my parents, like, I don't want to do it anymore. Like, one thing for some reason that really got to me was having to do makeup picture day at school. I don't know why. I was always on set, so I always missed picture day, and I hated standing in that line. So I was like, I don't know why that stuck out to me. But it's like, it seems like such a normal thing that kids get to do that I didn't get to do. And so I was just like, I don't want to do that anymore. So I tried to quit, and my dad mostly was like, no. And so I stuck with it for a little while. I was on a show with Blair Underwood called LAX for a little bit. Got canceled.
Oh, nice.
That was fun. I enjoyed that because I got to play a rebellious teenager, which is exactly how I felt.
Oh.
And so I stuck with it for a little while. Then I stopped doing TV and film entirely and just did commercial because that's where the money's at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made money. And then I went up to Northern California and worked on a farm for 3 months.
Wow.
And... Okay.
Got the green thumb.
Got scared, though, and ran back to LA like, I can't leave my life as an actor.
Damn, but you did a three-month hiatus
and
still had that pull to come back.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I think, too, like, while I was there, I was getting residual checks, and, like, I was rich at the time,
right.
You know? Like,
right.
And I was like, I can't really leave that money behind for
right.
this, like, country life, you know? So I went back, but then, like, something kept calling me, like, you got to get away from the city, you know, like, I was like 45 pounds lighter than I am right now. I was so just hyper-focused on my appearance, on like what people thought about me. And so something just kept pulling me to like nature, you know? And it's weird because I didn't grow up in a family that did nature at all. Like, you know, we went camping where you could pull your car straight up to the campsite. Like didn't do that. But something was just like, you gotta get out. You know, there was like a voice. And my mom is actually from the Berkshires in Western Mass. So she moved out there and was like, saw me all skinny and like emaciated and looking crazy and was like, come out here. You know, it's really calm. It's beautiful. You'll meet new people. You can just try it for a little while. If you don't like it, go back to LA. And so I moved in 2017 and never looked back.
Oh.
And now I, you know, live on a farm. Well, we just moved off the farm, but I was living on a farm for a couple years, Soulfire Farm, which is a nonprofit farm dedicated to ending racism in the food system.
Hell yeah.
Oh, which great. Is say that again. Amazing. Say it again. What is it?
Soulfire Farm.
Soulfire Farm.
Yep, in Grafton, New York. And now I grow things and raise babies and...
Did you meet your husband out there?
I met my husband at the farm, yeah.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
Wow.
That's dope.
You don't need whatever the farmer's dating app is. You just need to
farmers
be on
only.
The
farmers only.
Farmers only. Yeah, farmers only.
Right, but you don't need that. You just need to be on the farm.
I wonder what kind of credentials you got to give to like get onto that site.
To prove that you're a farmer?
Here's my
farmer.
Seed expenses.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, yeah, I grew a eucalyptus plant.
That's
hard to grow.
Wow. Okay, you say babies.
Babies. I have two babies.
Oh.
I have my 2.5-year-old named Lyris.
What does that mean?
Awesome name.
Lyris means, well, it's a family name. My husband's great aunt's name.
Oh.
And
how are you spelling that?
L-Y-R-I-S. Yeah. She is me. I was little, which is crazy. Oh, my goodness. She's so amazing. But damn, like, I got my work cut out for me. My mom was always like, you're going to get yours back. You know, like, just wait. What you did to me. And I'm like, oh, no. My daughter's. She's something else.
Oh,
she tests
my
me every
gosh.
Day. So I'm working on my rage.
Oh, my
God.
Okay.
Which is hard. And then I have a sweet little angel son named Kamari James, who just turned a year old.
Wow.
Aww.
He's the sweetest little
That's
guy.
Amazing.
Nice.
Loves me so much.
Dude, I kind of am shocked and love that your story is like... It's unique and like you didn't want to. It's so rare that parents force their children to act and stay in it. Like that you were trying, that you never wanted to stay. Like something in you was always kind of steering you out.
Yeah.
And the money obviously will keep you back in, but also like your family pressure was to stay an actress.
Yeah. And I think that's just because, you know, that was the family business.
Right.
You know, my parents, like my dad, me and him are tight. Like, you know, I don't have any resentment at all. I know he was just trying to do what he thought was best for me at the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a hard pressure because I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore, you know, and it, that to me would have been a pretty simple, like, okay then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, but it just wasn't. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't.
I think it's too hard of a pursuit. It's too unstable. It's too hard on the emotions. If you don't abso-fucking-lutely want to do it.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's too pain. Like, exactly. Go to a farm. Go do anything else.
Yeah.
If, yeah.
if you don't have that, like, burning need right. to do it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I moved back to Mississippi. I didn't, you know, just straight up say I'm gonna be a farmer now. But but sometimes you do need the breaks.
Yeah.
Wait, what? No, no, no. But honestly, I do consider sometimes going back and, you know, yeah. getting my
right?
great
you
thumb
should
up.
Do it a little. It's so healing.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Can I ask, what was your journey with anxiety and depression after NEDS and through your
so,
adult life?
So yeah, that's yeah, it really came to a head after I moved, to be honest, because prior to leaving, you know, I had been in therapy, I've been doing all that. And so I thought I was like healed. I'm like, I'm perfect and good. Mm. And now I'm going to move. But it's like, whenever you move, you know, all new things come up. And, you know, LA is so fast paced. Like you can easily kind of just
bypass.
Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, I'm anxious. Fuck this. I'm going out. You know, I'm going to go get some drinks with some friends. Yep. And like, you never have to actually like focus.
Deal with it.
But I moved out there in October. So I was getting ready to go into my first winter. I lived alone.
Holy shit.
I had no friends yet. I had no job yet. And so I just kind of like walked into my, what is it? The dark night of the soul.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, you know, like I like felt like I just kind of devolved into a puddle of just mess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just all the things, the fear of abandonment, just the, you know, not being good enough, the fear of rejection, like all these things just started coming up. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Like I really, it really, yeah. you know, felt like I was going to die. So I checked myself into an inpatient
there you go.
Place,
there you go.
Residential. So it's right. a little different.
Right.
Yeah. It's like you live in a house with a bunch of other people, mm-hmm. girls, other women, and you like learn about how to rewire mm-hmm. your brain. And honestly, like I spent 2 weeks there and they were like the best thing that ever yeah. happened to me, you know? So like that was in 2018. And so I learned like, you know, mindfulness and like, mm-hmm. how do I get out of my head and focus on what's happening? Cause I just feel like, you know, so much fear that we have is focused on things that either happened in the past or might happen in the future. Mm-hmm. It's not actually what's mm-hmm. happening in the present. So, you know, how do I just refocus on the present? And honestly, farming and growing stuff was a big part of that healing for me because, you know, you gotta be mindful when you're like tending to plants and you're hearing the birds and you're looking at the sun. And so just that practice of like gratitude and mindfulness in nature has just been a life changer.
Wow, man. That's awesome. Yeah. One of my favorite like kind of lessons from nature is growing something is a slow process. Mm. Like it takes consistent, whatever, nutrients, the right balance of things, but it's just slow. You can't rush it. You can't rush a tree growing. You can't rush mm-hmm. a plant growing, but you could pull it out in a fucking second. Mm. Like, so destruction is a very quick process and growing something lasting that's healthy is a slow process over time that you have to keep showing up
Absolutely.
To. And it's just like one of my favorite reflections from nature that I'm sure working on a farm, you're just
Absolutely.
In daily.
Absolutely. The tending, you know, if you really want to get something fruitful, and sustainable, yeah, it's a slow, tender, caring, you know, process. You have to troubleshoot. You have to, you know, it just, the mindfulness aspect for me just really comes to the forefront.
What is your favorite crop or plant to grow?
My favorites are generally perennial herbs, which perennial means they come back every year. So
I thought we were talking perennium. No, no, perennial.
Good Lord.
You don't perineum? Yeah.
Perineum.
I'm very familiar with perineum.
Hey, tomato, tomato.
So, no.
Uterus, uterus. I don't know.
Yeah. Also very uterus, familiar with uterus. The uterus, you know. My uterus is strong and great. Push two kids out, so there's that. Oh. I love perennial herbs because you plant them and then they always come back in the spring first. So, you know, you might be getting ready to seed new things, but the perennials are there already. So it's like the first green you see.
Favorite perennial?
My favorite perennial is lemon balm.
Lemon balm.
Lemon balm is so amazing. It's actually the first herb that I ever saw grow from the ground when I was in Northern California. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, I was like, what is that? Like, yeah. What is that? Why does it smell so good?
Right.
Because it smells so fragrant. And they're like, that's lemon balm. And I'm like, what the fuck is lemon balm? You know? And it was just like this amazing experience of like just being in relationship to this plant, making like hydrosol so you can spritz on your skin, and making body butter that you can rub on your body. Oh. That's lemon balm's also really healing. It's really good for like irritation and rashes.
Can you tell us about this? What is this we have here?
And also calendula is one of my favorite, which is in here.
Calendula. Calendula. Wait, that's the one I was like.
Calendula.
Calendula.
Yeah, calendula. So these are some body butters that I made that I want to gift to you.
Oh.
Nope, you get the prettier label.
Give her the prettier label.
Yay.
So this is botanical, yo.
Like jojoba.
This is my bestseller. So this is some
calendula,
jojoba, and shea.
Shea butter. So
simplicity. Oh my gosh. I'm gonna
It's really good for dry skin, which we all got around here.
Yeah. Oh, she's looking at us like, yeah, put some on now.
this LA water, man.
Oh my god.
Hard water. Ooh, we're true. All dry.
Could this be any creamier?
Oh, that's creamy.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, friends at home, if you want to check out Brooke's amazing products, go to brooksbotanicals.co.
Oh,
Brooks.
Yeah.
This is the creamiest thing I've ever felt.
Isn't oh, my amazing?
Like, God. Right? Like, you open these things, you expect it to be a little bit drier. God. Dude, it's actual
this
butter.
This actually feels fucking incredible.
Dude, it's actual butter.
People, like,
and
will
it doesn't
die
seem greasy.
For this.
Yeah,
like,
no, this is...
No, it's
this is hydrating.
Yeah,
dude.
After your shower, damp skin, put it on there.
Oh,
it'll just lock in all that moisture.
Oh, we locked in.
Man. And it smells good.
It smells
like chocolate.
So good.
It really does.
Because
it does.
It's a cocoa butter. Yeah.
This is
so beautiful.
Exciting.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you
so much.
You just upgraded me. My girl will probably use more than I will. But
oh, for sure. That's getting sweet.
Have her rub it on you, Dan.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It works as a massage oil, too.
Hey.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
I end up doing more massaging.
I mean, that's also going to be
that's a good thing, right?
Right? That's a good thing. You're right.
Will you tell me, so off before we started rolling a little bit, you told me about like your daughter only having references for farmers being black women. Will you tell me about being a black woman farmer? Like what?
Yeah. The Soulfire Farm was founded by Leah Penniman, who is a beautiful black woman farmer. And so my daughter, you know, and then I started farming with Leah. And so when my daughter was born, you know, well, first of all, when I was pregnant with her, I was planting seeds while I was growing this baby in my belly, which was like a pretty amazing experience.
Wow.
Yeah, it felt really like spiritual in this crazy way.
Whoa.
But so all the women, and also the farm is dedicated to like training up black farmers. Mm-hmm. So everybody who comes to the programs are people of color.
Hell yeah.
And a lot of black people.
Yeah.
So, you know, when she was little and we would walk around the farm during programming, she would just see a bunch of black people and a bunch of black women. She's like, mommy's a farmer. And so when she sings Old MacDonald, you know, she's like, oh, MacDonald had a farm. And on her farm, and she like points it like that too. And she's like, on her farm. I'm like, that's right. You know?
Exactly.
But
I love that.
Being a black woman farmer is interesting because black farmers in general in the United States are only like 1% of farmers.
Which is wild. Like, and you know, that was traditionally like, you know, you think of slavery days that we were working with our hands in the fields. And my family comes from that as well, even prior to sharecropping. But it's, you know, there have been certain subsidies that were removed from African-American farmers and they were not able to sustain that growth. Like that would have been our major, you know.
Yeah, like loans. Like it's hard to get loans for farming as a black person. Like there are tons. Like the Homesteading Act would like excluded black people from it entirely. So they were giving away land, but not to black people.
Yep.
So it's amazing because I believe, you know, it shows a new wave that's coming and a new opportunity for my daughter if she ever desired to do that. Mm-hmm. And then too, like, you know, starting this little business is like an interesting new way to be a farmer too, you know, because I think people when they think of farming they think like, oh, I just have to plant vegetables and I have to sell vegetables and it's like
out,
but no, like you can grow amazing nourishing herbs and like teach people about herbalism and teach people about how to care for themselves. And so that's, you know, I think important too, to like show young people the difference, different things, different avenues they can take if they do,
because
farmers.
That's huge. Like on top of like I mean you're refining a product from it as well versus just shipping it out to other people and letting them do it. That's really cool. I love that you do this.
It's honestly like I love it. Like I feel like I'm sure we've all had things over the years, like I mean I because I haven't focused so much on acting, I've done a lot of things. Like I was a preschool teacher and I was, You know, yeah, I did a bunch of random stuff. I can't even remember them right now, but a lot of stuff. And I feel like this is the first thing where I'm like, I love this, and I think I'm going to love it forever.
So it feels really
nice. It feels really nice.
And it seems so much more fulfilling than some of these things that are, like, more rigid and, like, conceptual. It's like, I know I'm going to make this thing. Mm-hmm. It's going to be magical. And I can come out here and continually do it and feel fulfilled about it.
Well, like, and you're connecting to the natural world and the natural processes of life to do it. You're with the seasons. You're with the sun. You're with the dirt. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so tangible, visceral, like, spiritual. Where we're just telling fart jokes on the internet.
Which is also important.
And making ourselves cry in front of the camera.
Don't patronize us. Which is also important.
I think a re-education in the self-care system is so vital and necessary.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like that's kind of what you're ushering forth. Like, it's been so monetized and, like, we think that these chemicals are self-care, these little face masks that you buy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they think self-care is, like, cute. And it rarely is that cute.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like in the dirt and this and that. It's cute, like, in a different definition. But
yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
And yeah, and that's the thing too, is like, because this year I'm going to start doing, like, programming for people to teach them how to grow their own stuff and make their own stuff. And I feel like that is also what you don't get when you buy a cream at your, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Like, you're not getting taught how to actually care for yourself.
Right.
You know, or the land.
Right.
Or anything.
Right.
You're just being told your skin is imperfect. You need to put this fucking cream on.
Right.
So you have poreless skin, which is bullshit because we have pores.
That's how the skin beats.
And so, like, that's the thing too, is like, you know, if people put these things on their face, it might not give them the exact glow that, like, the thing I can't pronounce, you know, is going to do to you.
With all
the chemicals. But this is going to be sustainable for yourself. This is going to be sustainable. It's not going to mess up your hormones. It's going to be sustainable for our planet. And it's going to teach you how to be, like, real.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was hard for me too, because coming from LA, you know, like, the first month that I was there, I didn't even look at myself in the mirror because I was like, I got to just get away from this. I threw out so many clothes that now I sort of regret. But I was like, I'm changing my life. I went to Goodwill.
Yeah.
I bought overalls. And, like, you know, I was like, I'm doing the farming thing. And I think that, you know, whether you do that literally or metaphorically, like, it's important to kind of toss out this ideal that isn't really real.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's definitely super emphasized in LA. Like, that is a part of this is, just super awareness on our image and the whole thing.
Dude,
a lot of my crises as a young boy, especially going into, like, teenage years, trying to make that transition, was tied to, like, my...
Brooke rejecting you?
Oh, well, that of course, that was the...
That'll set anybody back.
Everything else
will set anybody back.
But, like, I recall my dad, you know, trying to, you know, hey, man, you know, you're becoming an adult. You got to make sure your hair is so perfect. And you got to look into these beauty things. And I'm like, bro, dad, that's just not something I care about.
Yeah.
I only want to be a dusty guy running around rough and tumble playing football. But I was like, that's the way my brain's wired, and I don't feel like I fit in trying for this beauty stuff. I'm not one of those leading sexy guys.
Like, Daniel, we're just trying to make it so your hands don't crack when you move.
That's all. Like, put on the lotion, Daniel.
I'm trying to make it so you feel like you can move in your skin suit. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be
not gonna break off and shatter.
It's just not me. I'm just not into it.
But it's so hard to just be a person.
It is hard to be a person
in Los Angeles, especially if you're in that entertainment field.
True. You know, like, I contemplated getting my nails done for this podcast, but I was like, I don't generally get my nails done anymore.
So why do it?
I didn't.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Which, it's like me trying to be authentic.
Oh my God, I love
you.
You know? It's those little choices and moments.
Yeah.
All the yes.
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you think of Khalees?
Khalees?
Do you know Khalees?
Oh, I do. And she now has the farm.
She has a farm now. Do you? Yes.
We
you
haven't.
Like what she's
you guys doing?
Doing
a?
I do like what she's doing. I do like what she's doing, but the only criticism I have is that a lot of her products are extremely expensive. And so one of the three things I'm doing with this is, like, making the prices very accessible. So I still want to make money, of course.
Yeah.
But, like, you're not going to... She had a cream that was, like, this smaller than this, half this size. with things, you know, I was like, oh, you know, cool, I do that. I was trying to connect with her. Cool, I grow some of my own stuff and make my own stuff. She's like, me too. And first of all, girl, that, there was kelp in that. You ain't growing no kelp. So lie, number one. And number two, it was like $56 for like 4 ounces of something like that. That's $18. Yeah. You know, and it's like, so that just is hard for me because, girl, you already got money, first of all. First of all.
You're bleeding
and
people
secondly,
dry.
And secondly, you know, like I just want... I think stuff that's natural should be more accessible for people
right.
who need it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So yeah. I do think it's cool what she's doing. I think it's awesome that she's changing her life. But I also wonder sometimes if, like, she's trying to, like, get into this niche farming thing and then just still make a lot of money from it.
Right.
Which makes me a little bit sad because I feel like, you know, if you have that much influence, you should use it to, like, do good things. You know? Because you can subsidize. Like, I get grants to subsidize costs so that I can still make money. And the people are not paying me, but it's like I'm getting, you know, money elsewhere. Right. So like there are things you can do.
You're doing your own grant writing and stuff too? That parallels lawyer, Claire Sawyer.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm not the best grant writer. I should probably
hire you're getting
somebody.
Them grants. You're getting those grants. That's dope.
Yeah,
man.
I've gotten one so far. But it was a good one. So far.
Does your husband run the farm with you or he's separate?
So my husband, Kai, he works at the farm, but as a carpenter. So he works with Leah's husband, actually, Jonah, and I work with Leah. And so like they're like the site team where they, you know, take care of all the buildings and me and Leah farm. And this year I'm doing less active farming because I have 2 kids, but I'm managing our CSA this year. So we ship out free food to people in Albany and Troy. and I do that. Yeah.
You're like a real person doing real things in the world.
It's like you're a fully activated seed, like a lotus. Like, oh, you're coming up out of the murk.
Yeah.
And you're kind of a wizard, too, at the same time.
Like crazy.
I mean, making things grow.
I mean, really.
Yeah. It's
awesome. Like tapping into that witchy, perfect,
you know?
Wonderful.
Yeah, my husband calls me a witch sometimes.
Magic.
Totally.
But it's fun. Yeah. It's fun witch. Good witch. 100%. One time I was like, do I look like a witch, though? Because I don't want to really look like a witch, but.
No, girl.
What does a witch look like? What does a witch look like? You know what I mean?
You're the new face for a witch, girl. No, it doesn't have to be our grandmother's witch.
Just put on one of those cool hats like Tristan Mays does.
In our grandmother's witch, okay? No. You freaking revamp it, yeah. Do you still want to, like, act? Is there any part of you that would rejoin this whatever? And also, what do you see for the future of, like, your farm? Like, what are you growing towards, or... Yeah.
So I feel like I would, in the right circumstance, act again. I do think, though, like, because I do public speaking now, too, on mental health. And, like, I talk about my mental health journey. And I think I'd more prefer to do that and be myself rather than play another role. Or if, you know, if I ever did get back into it, which I don't know if I got the clout for that anymore, but, you know, be able to choose my roles more than I was back then, you know, because then I was just choosing roles just because I got booked, you know.
Right,
I wasn't like,
you
this
want
is
me?
So, oh, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So maybe. And then in terms of, like, the future, so I don't actually have my own farm yet, but, you know, I work with Soulfire Farm, but I do want to have my own farm where I can grow my own herbs and I can have people come and do tours and, you know, show them all the things we're doing, make products together and talk about herbalism and I don't know where that's going to be yet, but I do want to have.
You are literally teaching the village to fish. Nobody's ever going to go hungry again.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's pretty neat.
It's really wonderful. Like you're consistently paying it forward.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Do you make any crops that are edible? Like edible crops? Do you like, which ones do you like? Of
those? Collard greens.
Oh, collard greens are the best.
Yeah, love growing they're brassicas. Love growing brassicas. So broccoli, kale, Brussels sprouts. They're
and really you like fun. The collards more than the turnips? That's a big thing. Yeah. You prefer the collards, okay?
Yeah.
Turn up. I'm a turnip. And I like turnips.
I like the texture better of collards.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
The thought of, like, it's so weird because it's what food is, but we live in cities. So the thought of pulling food, like greens, out of the ground and being able to fucking eat them is so magical and seems so foreign. I'm like, what is that mythical?
Don't touch it. It's dirty.
What is that?
Don't touch it. It's dirty. Oh, no.
It's true, though. It's crazy. It's true. But
that's all food. Was that real? I saw this go around TikTok recently, and I think it was real, and it really troubled me for the fucking world. It was like some American girl who was shocked that you can...
she didn't believe you could eat fruit off trees.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think
and
it's
I
real.
Hope she was fucking kidding, but it didn't look like she was.
I don't
like,
think so.
She was like, oh, don't you, but you can't eat that. It's off a tree. And the guy's like, yeah, that's where fucking fruit comes from. She's like, no, like it's off a tree. That's dirt. Like that's dirty, basically.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's ridiculous. It's wild.
Like,
oh,
where ridiculous. Do you think fruit comes from?
It just proves we're so disconnected from our food system.
We are. Wow. We are. Like, it's and from crazy. Nature itself. Yeah, yeah. Like, what the fuck?
And we get kids like that. You know, like, we do, like, youth programs at the farm.
Yeah.
So, like, we have kids come up, and they're like... You know, like, is that it? You know? And I'm what like, you can eat that. You know?
What the
yeah.
hell is this?
And they're like, why is it there's so much mud? And like, they're slipping around. It's really funny. It's really funny. And then by the end of it, though, they're like, I love, you know?
Yeah, because it's our
soak it up.
It's our earthright.
It's in us. It's in us.
It's literally
our earthright.
You like that? Yeah.
Earthright, birthright, earthright. Wow.
Got her right in her soul.
Favorite animal on the farm?
Well, we only have chickens and goats.
Chickens and goats. So. All right, which one?
Probably the chickens.
Oh, like chickens. Goats are
because
aggressive.
Goats,
I grew up with
yeah,
goats.
Yeah, that's why.
Chasing me down the street.
Yeah.
Goats are the worst. They
they're
are some
weird
are
they
fast? Animals.
They're
oh,
fast.
Yeah, they're and faster than me. Fast enough to catch me.
Oh, then little chunky Daniel. Little baby chunky Daniel.
Turkeys are aggressive too. Like, where I grew up in the city.
Yeah, they are. They oh, are. Yeah, no. They are aggressive. They will.
But the thought of a chicken flapping its wings at me, I don't know why, scares me.
Yeah, they're a bit intimidating.
You know what I mean?
Like a Pokemon
like,
flap.
The flap. They also seem like they're
mom,
not trying
flap.
To like smile at you in the hallway. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like they're the type who's like, let's keep it moving.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, cluck, cluck. Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
Oh, man.
Here.
Like, yeah, they're Jesus. A bit odd. Their eyes right? are a little bit like, they look soulless
they just,
almost.
They're never going to totally be on your team, and that's... scares me. But I did hear recently of like a fox literally getting into like a chicken coop and like just
they'll
just,
destroy them. Yeah.
Oh, they do that.
They'll like behead yeah. them and yeah, it's yeah. pretty sad. It's yeah. pretty sad.
Have you had to clean out a dead chicken coop before?
I once massacre? Buried a chick and we thought it was dead and it came back to life. The next day
and
it crawled out of the ground. No, it just came back to life. Like it was dead. Dead. So yeah. just like what is it called?
Resurrected?
Yeah.
What, Lazarus?
Yeah, Lazarus. We named him Lazarus.
Oh,
yeah.
You did?
Yeah,
that's dope. That's dope. That's dope.
That's crazy.
It was black, too.
Oh, ooh, it's in the soil. In the soil.
We had our friend, another actress who's now a registered nurse, Jennifer Stone, on the podcast, mm-hmm. and she's told a story. She works in the ER
oh, yeah.
of that with a fucking human. Ooh, they coated him. They covered him. He was dead, and then he sat up with the sheet over him.
Nightmare.
One of the doctors wrote him off and everything. That's
yeah,
wild.
Like they were literally God. Filling out the certificate.
Why Same. Does that happen?
It's like, so insane. Geez,
I'll take
that's
that
so
back.
Strange.
The certificate. You don't deserve that.
I don't understand.
I still gotta file it. Damn it.
Dang.
Wow, that's intense. Wow. So Lazarus lived.
He lived.
Did yeah. you raise him and eat him?
No, actually.
God bless.
Yeah.
Do you that plan was... on eating them or are you gonna let
so
them?
So the chickens that we have at Soul Fire, we don't eat.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
They're just
eggs.
Laying
to make
heads.
Eggs
yeah,
and to be
heads.
Around.
Yep.
Yeah. And so the males, cute. Do you eat the males? Oh, no.
We used to have males. So this Lazarus was on the Northern California farm. Yeah. But Soul Fire, we used to have meat birds. Now we don't.
Mm.
But I have gone through the process of
wow.
doing
See,
that.
But even that's connected
yeah.
to
wait,
what
wait,
it is,
like,
though.
Like,
killing
like,
a chicken?
Yeah, killing them and
and like bleeding it
them,
and,
yeah,
and deep.
Yeah, ooh, all of that.
I was about to say deflowering.
How do you think we get our chickens, Lindsay?
That's illegal.
Yeah. yeah. yeah
the, you know, killing it,
the,
fucking it.
Feathers, you know what I mean? Get the wings.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah, the wings. Yeah, I mean, the feathers. Yeah.
Do you think our chickens get fucked?
Yes.
And that's the only way to make it halal,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
Yeah.
A kosher.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. But I will say, every time we did it, it was like it would rain that day. And then we would have a double rainbow the next day. Like, I swear, it was pretty kind of crazy.
Wow. A little seance yeah. is going on there.
Yeah, it was crazy.
There's some energy around this farm.
Yeah, and we would be, like, frolicking. It's pretty interesting. Like, oh, you know.
Have wow. you embraced upstate New York winters being an LA kid?
God.
Dude, what the fuck?
Oh, no.
Her first time was a winter. That,
yeah.
You moved there in winter?
Yeah.
That's so intense.
You know, the first couple, I was like, it's so beautiful. You know, like, because I had never experienced snow like that.
Right.
Like, there's snow falling from the sky. Like, it just didn't, you know, my
yeah,
brain
serene.
Compute that.
Yeah.
And so the first couple times, I was like, this is amazing and beautiful. And now I hate it.
I hate it. Like, it's hard, especially because, like, I have two kids now. So any time spent outside in the winter, I have to get them all bundled up. Oof. And then by the time we're, like, all bundled up, everyone's sweating and mad. And they're like, I don't want to go outside anymore. So it's just, yeah, oh, it's not.
And then you just throw them into the snow.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, I just want
to,
like.
And then you have to, like, make the farm all ready for winter.
Yeah, so we put it to bed at the end of the season, like, literally kind of tuck it in with, like, hay. And
right, because then it's got to sit there until things thaw, till the ground thaws.
And the thaw has been getting later and later.
Damn.
Like, last year or 2 years ago, we had a snowstorm on Cinco de Mayo.
Holy shit.
What?
Yeah.
Climate change.
Yeah, but also we've had less snow this year because of climate change, so... It's just cold and gray, which is also not.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why I'm here. You know?
No, we're so spoiled.
Yeah.
We're so spoiled in LA.
Get out of there.
Oh, wait, were you here for the rain that just recently happened?
No, but I heard about it. It's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah. It would have been cute to you living in New York.
Yeah, New York. Yeah.
New York, there's torrential downpour. We're cute in LA. We're
the one thing that I think is bad about it is that we have no concept of time passing.
I agree.
So, like, the seasons have no impact on us.
I agree.
And so changes in our personality can't really be a true, like, we're all like, am I stupid? Am I crazy?
No, dude,
it's just like a change in the, and but the atmosphere won't tell you that.
I agree. Right. Like, the seasonal change in LA is so, it happens, but it's just so subtle. It's such a subtle spectrum. Yeah. Whereas, like, if you live in a place with proper four seasons.
Totally.
Yeah, I feel like you can connect more to the changes of life.
And be like, oh, okay. It's almost like this little mythology being played out in, like, my atmosphere, right?
Every year, every season.
This makes sense.
Yeah.
This is hard. Yeah.
Yeah. That's also part of the reason why I moved, was because of that monotonous feeling. Like, every day is the same.
Yeah.
What am I doing? But yeah, now it's like, you know, winter comes, it's time for rest. Yeah. You know, you kind of hunker down, you make plans, you know, it's like just a different,
Vibe. And, you know, you feel guilty for not having a smile on your face when it's always sunny. Like, you literally don't feel like, literally, even the weather is giving you a chance to, like, it's like you fucking slap on that smile. And you get out there, you shake your tail feather, okay?
Man.
Dude, it's true. Yeah.
That's fair.
Perfectly sunny in LA, and like, you're having a depressed day, you're like, can't do that.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. I actually think we're ready for our tip.
We need a tip from you. Yes.
We cinch up each episode with a nice little tippy tip. So for
the audience.
Yeah.
If you are going through any struggle, whether it's anxiety or feeling not good enough, that all of the feelings themselves are valid. But what really matters is how we respond to the feelings. So, you know, for me, when I get anxiety, instead of being pissed and screaming and doing the things I used to do or running out and getting drunk or whatever it was that I did, now I can have new tools. So find your toolbox, find your things that make you feel a little bit of joy. Maybe it's like a little gratitude that the sun is out today, especially in California. But yeah, find those little things to help you change the reaction to the emotion, because that's what matters.
Lovely.
I love that. You got a tip, Lynn?
Yes. I'm just going to say, if you're finding that the majority of your self-care is purchased, maybe investigate that. A lot of your self-care, at least the majority of it, should be free. You know what I mean? Or at least like an experience beyond, you know, going and getting something at Sephora or something like a face mask. So.
I'm going to say, if you haven't connected to nature in a while, if you haven't been in nature in a while, do it, man. Get by a river, go on a hike, get out where it's like quiet, where all you hear is birds and trees and like the natural world. Our biology is intricately linked with nature and the natural world and the sun and being somewhere where there's not constant fucking electricity and Wi-Fi and whatever abstractions from nature. So yeah, go camp if you haven't in a while. Go get into nature. It's so good. And I'm saying this because I'm reminding myself I haven't been camping in fucking forever and I need to go.
Yeah, but seriously, don't overestimate your ability to camp. Like if you have never camped before, work up to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And go with a friend. It scares the shit out of me. Sometimes camping, I'm gonna be really honest with you, it kind of scares me.
Really?
So many bears and shit.
No, that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying?
You should be scared of
it. I am very scared of camping.
Yeah, you're not.
I camped my whole 20s in the back alleys of LA. Okay? Terrible. Anyway, go on. But yeah. You're like an avid camper. So I mean, you have like the tools.
I love it out there. Yeah I love it out nice. There in the wilderness.
And like you go by yourself?
I've camped by myself a few times and I've loved
me
it.
Me too. But
it's great.
God bless.
I've loved it. Yeah, maybe we'll do a little Ned's camping trip.
Why not?
Wait, do you camp, Daniel?
I grew up in camp in Mississippi.
Right. Duh, you grew up, yeah.
That was camp. Right. But no, I go every now and again. Yeah, my tip, I will say, guys, life is all about cycles. Get in touch with them. This is piggybacking off of your statement there. Don't be afraid of the seasons in life and be aware that that cycle, you know, it'll continue to turn. And sometimes when you feel down, just know that there's a up right around the corner. So just stay in the game, guys.
Yeah, for every winter, there's a spring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brooke Marie Bridges, so great Brooke
Marie.
To see you,
and then plug thank where we
you.
Can find
yes. yes.
So you can go to my website, www.brooksbotanicals.co. And you
can we'll make sure to put it in the YouTube
great.
As well.
Brooks
like in the show
Botanicals.
Notes.
Brooks Botanicals. You can check out. I have a bunch of really good, amazing, all natural skin, hair, and self care.
Yeah, this body butter, it's called Simplicity Body
it's
Butter.
Good.
That's
smooth.
What she
it
gave
is
us.
So
it feels
creamy.
Fucking incredible, yes. dude. And you'll be supporting a small local business.
Yes.
Black women farmers.
That
like,
part.
Let's
somebody
go.
Somebody who's paying
man.
It forward, making more masters in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
go.
Ugh.
Let's
I love it.
Go.
Thank you.
Thanks for making the world a better place, Brooke.
Thank you for having me today.
We'll see all you next week.
Bye now.
Hey. Thanks for watching this week's episode.
Special
guys,
shout out.
Is it time for
Super Friends Dance?
Thank you for being patrons.
Thank
we
you.
Love you. Special shout out. Thanks for making this this podcast possible. Go to patreon.com/nedspod if you want more from
that
us
part.
And to support us. We love you.
Love
Thank you.
See you next week.
Bye.